Okay.
Well, my grandparents bought the third lot that was sold in Montebello Rosa Cemetery. I don't remember the exact year, but anyway, Father Volk bought the first lot, and I've forgotten who bought the second, but Grandpa and Grandma bought the third lot. In that lot, my grandparents built, Grandpa and Grandma Gulf are buried. My three brothers, Victor, James, Edward, and Virgil are buried there. The other brother is buried in Bowling Green. And, of course, Uncle Sid and Aunt Lila Goff are buried there, and a number of others, as well as my three brothers. And also, your grandfather is buried, and grandmother on the stiff side are buried in the Catholic Cemetery near that same plot. And my two little daughters, Anne and Mary Margaret, are buried in the plot close to the Gulf plot. Now,
granddad's name was John?
Granddaddy's name was John Edward. Your granddaddy on the other side was Paul L. Stiff. I'm not sure whether it was Leslie or Lambert. I've heard it both ways. Anyhow, your grandmother Ewing, who was Paul Stiff's wife, is buried in Rose Hill Cemetery.
It's Carrie B. Ewing?
That's Carrie B. Ewing, that's right. And that's, of course.
What was your mom's maiden name?
My mom was Ada Bell Gulf before her marriage.
Which way did she spell it?
Well, they spelled it both ways. To start with, originally they found the name G-O-U-G-H. But to please an old cranky school teacher, they started writing it G-O-F-F. So Uncle Willie, mother's oldest brother, and his family always continued to use G-O-U-G-H, while the younger members of the family started writing it G-O-F-F. And that's the way the change come about. In those days, they didn't have to go through legal proceedings to change the lettering and so on. So that's the way it was.
And what were your grandparents' names?
Your
grandparents?
My grandparents on mother's side were, my grandmother was Old Nan. She was married Catherine Old Nan before she married Grandpa Bob. And on the other side.
And his name?
Grandpa's name was Matthias Gull. Same as the biblical name of Matthias. And let's see, on the Stiff side, my grandfather Stiff's name was John. John Parker. His mother was a Parker.
Stiff.
That's right, John Parker Stiff. And the Stiff family came from Virginia, and two of them, the two that I'm familiar with, were my dad's father and his brother, Uncle Tom and Aunt Ellen Stiff. Of course, they are buried in Breckenridge County, near in the cemetery there for St. Teresa's Church, and there are other Stiffs buried there besides, but I imagine there were some of Uncle Tom Stiff's descendants. And my brother that was buried in Bowling Green, his name was John Preston was his name. That's right. About the size of it. Yes,
can you go another generation back? Do you know before them?
Well, I just know that on the Gulf side, that the Grandma Gulf, who was an old man, her father was Dennis Bowles. And, I mean, Dennis, wait a minute, I'm getting confused. Grandma's father was Dennis O'Man, but her mother was a Bowles. But I don't really know the forgiven name of the Bowles family, but I just know the Bowles family was there. And going back to the Stiff family, way back, Granddaddy Stiff's mother was a Parker, but I don't know the given name or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I do know, of course, that they did come to Kentucky from Virginia.
When did they come, do you know?
That I don't know just what year they came to.
1800 something.
In the 1800s. Grandma Gulf, I know, when she was born in 1834, and I've heard her say that her father died on the 22nd day of May, and the next day she was 12 years old. So you can do a little baby there, you can tell what year that was.
Mm.
But going back to the Stiffs, Grandmammy Stiff, I've often heard Dad say that his grandmother lived to be in her 90s and was still riding on a horse from a side saddle when she was 90. She could still
wow.
go on the horse and ride with a side saddle.
How many, besides Grandpa John and Granddaddy Paul, what other brothers were there?
Okay, I've heard Dad speak of his oldest brother, Philip Steele, who went to Texas and settled there. Never returned to Kentucky. I think they lost track of the but in that family there was Uncle Preston Steele, who lived in Bowling Green most of his life, his adult life, after leaving Breckenridge County. Let's see, there was Philip, Preston, my dad, John Edward, and one that died by the name of Warren, and Eugene, of the boys. And the girls was Aunt Maggie, who married a Birch. She married Joe Birch. Aunt Maggie remained single all her life, will live to be well into her 80s. And Aunt Belle, who married a Leek, died during childbirth. She had two children, both girls. Later years, Aunt Myrtle, who was the youngest one, married a man who worked for the railroad company. And they lived in Bowling Green until after Uncle Howard Reeder, that was the man she met, that Aunt Myrtle married. Then after he died, they went to Cincinnati. And one of their daughters is Ursula Nunn, but I don't know what her given her name and religion is. And the other one, the oldest one was Anna Catherine. And the other girl was Eugenia. But I don't know whether she's married or whatever become of her. I lost track of them. But I believe I did tell you that Uncle Paul was buried in Bowling Green, there in the Catholic Cemetery in Bowling Green. And there is a marker to his grave because he seemed to that before he died. But I better nickel it, not the death date hasn't been put on his marker, but at least I doubt that it has. But if you ever have another visit, we'll put a bowling ring and go to the cemetery and look that up.
Which year did he die? When was he born?
Well, he died in,
He died when I was in service, so it must have been about 68.
Service, something like that.
1968
or something like that. But now, your other grandparents, you should have got the date over those markers down there. I'll write you and give you those.
Connie wrote those down. Granddaddy died in
1963.
Yeah.
And Mom died earlier than that. Mom died two or three years before that.
August 24th, 1954.
1954, yeah.
She was born July 10th, 1867.
That's correct. That's correct. So, of course, that's about the history of it. Unless you can think of something else you'd suggest.
Okay, tell me again about Uncle Hugh.
About what?
About Uncle Sid and their family.
Well, Uncle Sid Golf. Incidentally, my mother gave me her two brothers' names, Robert Sidney. Robert Lee was his name, and Uncle Sid was Sidney Mathias. And they had, they had three, their first three children were girls, Lucille, Martine, and Edna. Then came the three boys, Hugh, William Thomas, and Jean. I don't know what the gene.
These are all goths?
It was actually Eugene, I think.
Yeah.
All three of those boys have died. They were pallbearers at my mother's funeral. For my mother's funeral, her three grandsons, Bobby, Joe, and Richard, were her pallbearers, as well as her three nephews, Hugh, Billy, and Gene Golf. And they are...
Okay, Uncle Sid was...
Mother's sister, a brother, not quite a sister.
Grandma's sister, right?
That's
brother. Okay.
And my family, the three, of course, I told your mother and dad had five children. And of course, I am the youngest of the five. Okay, let me see now.
Just get their names and...
Well, of course, we'll go over the names again. Victor, the oldest one, was Thomas Victor. And the second one was...
How old was Victor when he died?
He was only 15 and 6 months when he died. He died in 19 and 13. The one 1903, J.E., James Edwards, was born in 1903. And he died on the... took sick on Christmas Day of 1912. Went to bed. And the 29th of December of the same, he died just 4 days later. And then, of course, Victor didn't die until the 16th of January of 1913, and he was the one who had the congestive chill. The GE had what they call acute inflammation of the kidneys. And at the time of, when we went home from J.E.'s funeral, James, we always called him by his initial, J.E., I don't know why that did, but they did. Anyhow, I took sick when we went home from the funeral, they put me to bed, and I didn't eat, was so sick that the doctor advised him not to tell me that Victor was dead. And for quite a long while, I would ask Mom, well, where's Victor, where's Victor? And finally, sometime, possibly midsummer of 1913, she told him
6 months later
that Victor was dead. So I was raised pretty much an only child from the time I was 6 and a half years old on.
You lived on a farm out by
In 19, well, I was born and raised here in Winsboro until I was 12 years old. When I was 12 years old, they bought a farm out on the Owensboro and Calhoun Road. And we lived out there in 1920, 21, and 22. And then in 1923, we moved to Ohio County and stayed there from, from 1923 till about 1927. Then moved back to Owensboro. And of course, I knew with, well, just before Richard was born, he was born in 1936, I guess, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, we were living out in the, between Masonville and Habit when he was born. I showed you the lot there, the house stood where we were living. And fortunately, of course, we only lost two of our children, Ann was the first one to die. She died when she was just 9 years old. She died when she was just 9 years old. And Mary Margaret lived to be 19. Of course, she was an invalid of her entire life. I think you can probably remember Mary Margaret.
I remember the day Aunt Mary told me she died. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well.
Anyhow, she never spoke a word. She never walked a step. But she recognized the family. And she was especially fond of my mother and her Aunt Virginia. Anytime Aunt Virginia would come around, well, she always just treated her like she was a broken mama baby, a normal kid. Hello, Mary. Play with her, talk to her, help her, shake her hands, and all. Then she'd just throw her little hands, just so happy to see her. And of course, Mom babysat him quite a bit while we would be going to see little Ann, who was in the hospital, of course, her crippled children's hospital in the world. And she was just, well, she certainly was very sensitive, though. You never wanted to correct one of the other children in her presence, of course. Sorry, I wish the dead kid you'd get left.
Well, you never had to do that with me anyway.
No, you were a pretty good kiddo. The only thing you hated was your playpen. Man, I love you, kiddo, with that thing, and you tried to shake it to pieces. I can say that to this day, how you get a hold of that thing, and I really give it a shake.
Ready to get out of jail.
After you got off the farm, what was your first job?
Well, the first, my worked at the Idea Pure Milk Company, just a little cleanup job, part-time. Then I went to work for Anthony Brown, and he taught me how to hang wallpaper. And then I hung wallpaper off and on until the war broke, the Second World War, or Second, the Korean War broke out. And then I went to Evansville and worked in the defense.
World War II.
I'm getting to World War II, where I went to Evansville and worked in the defense work there. When I come home from working in Evansville, that war ended the 14th day of August of 1945. And I went to the Glenwood Distillery and began working as a guard on the 14th day of September of 1945, and worked there for the next 30 years, 3 months, 17 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one lucky break. I got to start work on the 14th day of September. And by starting on the 14th day of September, I got a week's vacation the very first year I was there. And Mr. Lewis, who was personnel director at the time, he called me in the office. Mr. Stiff, did you actually work any on the 14th day of September? I said, well, Mr. Lewis, you count the end punch. I said, I actually worked 3 hours, but you count the end punch, so you count a full 8-hour shift. He said, I'll never hire another man on the 14th day of September as long as I live. But anyway, all along then, every time that a raise come up or anything of the sort, I got the benefit of it by starting on the 14th day of September.
And what did you do on that vacation?
Well, most of the time I would take on another job hanging wallpaper or something that way. 1953, we did take a little trip to... But I believe Joe come home from service, and we took a little trip to, well, up to Washington and into New York City, just a flying trip. I mean, he did all the driving. I had bought a new 53 Chevrolet, and we did.
I remember that, Mark.
Took the trip to up to Washington and New York. We even rode down Skid Row there and saw the. And we took a little bus tour. I remember the bus tour said, keep your hands, your arms and your head inside, or you may be hollering, body, where's my head? Well, body, where's my head? If you ever stuck your head out the window looking.
Mm-hmm. Well, what year, then the next year, John moved to Houston?
Well, as soon as he come out of service, I think he was went to Houston and started in going to college there, but then he met his future wife, and eventually, of course, they were married and had 8 children.
And that was what, about 54, 55?
Yes, it must have been something like that. Must have been about 54 when he went to Houston. Well, as soon as he got out of service, that he went to Houston. Incidentally, you have your discharge from the service recorded here in the Davis County Courthouse, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Bobby does, and also Joe.
Yeah, they won't be able to find me again.
Oh, I want to get that birth certificate, sure.
Yeah. Is it in the little tackle box, the little one?
This tape was recorded by my dad during our visit in July of 1987.